You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And a very good Friday morning to you. Mike McNamara in for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a nice day wherever you are. And hope your weekend is going to turn out to be good wherever you head. So thanks for listening to us on a Friday, making us part of your plans. And let me tell you what we're going to do. It's Friday, so we generally have a good time on Friday. Our All Marine Radio official chef, Kim Holmes, will join us. And we'll talk about food. And I want to talk about steaks, because I grilled some last night. So we'll do a little steak 101. And I want him to share with you how you, yes you, can be one of the greatest grillers of modern time. That's right. Because he taught me. And he took the science out of it. And so no matter what happens, I know what to do. Yeah. It's unscrewable. I can't screw it up. So we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. And then at 8 o'clock, we will talk about the making of the unknown flag raiser of Iwo Jima. This week marks the 72nd anniversary of the invasion, which happened, which began D-Day on February 19th. Operations around Iwo Jima obviously took place before that, as Marines and sailors embarked from Hawaii and rendezvoused in the Pacific, I want to say in the vicinity of Guam, and headed for Island X that would become known to us all as Iwo Jima. So we'll talk to Matt Morgan about the making of the unknown flag raisers. We've already pretty well gone over how the information came to him and where the idea came from. So I'm more interested, as we've kind of begun to chronicle, how do you make it? You know, so Matt became the producer. He's a former infantry and PAO, public affairs officer in the Marine Corps. You've heard his wife, Angie Morgan, here, who's a business consultant. So we'll talk to Matt about what is it like to make something like that. And also, not only did he make it, but interestingly enough, the Smithsonian Channel aired it. Now, the Smithsonian Channel has its own criteria for what it airs, and if you're a fan of it, and I am, it's pretty high quality stuff. And so, I think in terms of brands, when you see the word Smithsonian, it's a pretty high quality, high confidence brand. So, having said that, we'll have Matt on, and we'll talk about it. He worked in the Marine Corps Public Affairs Office in Los Angeles, so we'll talk a little bit about that and his introduction into the movie making, filmmaking, entertainment business as a Marine, and then as he transitioned out, where he saw opportunity, and then if he has any advice for people that are interested in getting involved in that, what would that be? So we'll talk to Matt about that, and then the Gunner will join us. Now, I don't know if we're going to continue our gun discussion from yesterday, but we will at some point. So the whole idea of I want to kind of pull the string on a little bit of a history that we kind of bumped into yesterday. And that was the migration from the 38 as a sidearm to the 45, and so the history behind that. Because that came up in the discussion yesterday. So we got into all gun radio yesterday. So we might continue that a little bit. So there's a ton of stuff in the news today. As it seems to be every day. But, the president, talking about our nuclear arsenal is in the news. And, there's also China is in the news, constructing surface-to-air missile sites in the South China Sea. So, again, we continue to watch. Grant Newsham was on this week, and interesting stuff. We're trying to get him to come on again next week and talk about it. So, a couple more things I want to talk about, but I'll save them. American generals want to meet with their Russian counterparts to put an end to this crazy near misses in the sky, because at some point somebody's luck runs out and somebody makes a mistake and two people get killed. The minimum two, there's a backseater, they go with them. So anyway, General Mattis gets high marks so far. Secretary Mattis gets high marks so far. Solid moves, what you would expect from a guy like him. Anyway, not that I'm a fan, because let me tell you, I mean, I've certainly seen him do things that I didn't agree with, and not that he answers to me, but, you know, I mean, I'm not a Kool-Aid drinker. I tend not to be that way. So, but, you know, what one of the things you want to see from any Secretary of Defense is you want him to be solid. And I think he has been that, and that's a good sign. I also like, unlike some of the media, I also like that the Secretary of State hasn't felt the need to run out and make headlines, and that's not an easy job to ease into. And I think if you're going to do it well, there's a certain amount of growing into it that you need to do, and it might be a month. And I don't think keeping a low profile is a bad thing. Now, at some point, and you know, that will change, and we all know that, but I like that. I think it communicates that, hey, this is not the first time I've taken over something large, and I got to get my bearing, and then I'll make it go. Before I do, though, I'll operate a little bit on the down low and get my act together. So, I don't know. You read a lot of stuff. It's like, what do people want? The Department of State, you know, can I have a few weeks here to get my shit together? But it is Friday, so let me start the program, and then we'll talk steak, and try to be a source of joy here on a Friday. So we have the rest of the week to worry about everything else. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem, my favorite rendition of it. Colleen follows with God Bless America. Excuse me.
America, land that her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans. Wipe us home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Done, Dad.
Honestly, is that the best?
Your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
All right, regardless of whether he meant it or not, it's pretty good advice. Gotta say that. Ted Sorensen, well done. And well delivered by John Kennedy. So. I'm in a relatively, that's my barometer. My cynic barometer. How I feel about that quote when I hear it on a given day. Anyway, we'll check the weather around the Marine Corps real quick. 62 degrees under partly cloudy skies in Quantico. That's pretty warm. How about this? Camp Lejeune, 73 and sunny. Boom. Warm on the East Coast. Granbury, Texas, 49, partly cloudy. Up in North Dakota, 17 degrees and cloudy. 29 Palms, 36 and sunny. Camp Pendleton, 37 and sunny. Now, that's inland Camp Pendleton. There's no way it's sunny on the coast. Camp Smith, cloudy, dark, and 70. Okinawa, a little bit cooler, cloudy and 58. In Fallujah, a little bit warmer than normal, 67 degrees, dark with clear skies. And in the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 42 degrees. Yeah, looking for a high of only 60 today. So we're going to take a quick break. This hour of All Marine Radio, brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug. Battle Mug starts with a 10.5-pound block of T6 billet aluminum. They mill it, machine it, and anodize it. Put a serial number on it, and then it's ready for you to make it your own quality product. Each mug has Picatinny rails on it, a set of them. It has the M16 carrying handle on it, so it looks formidable, to say the least. You can use it as a weapon, but it's designed to be given for commemorative farewells, promotions, retirements, and special occasions. You can check their whole line of products out at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company, Marine-originated, made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Great sponsors, great guys, and we will endeavor to have them on and talk a little business with them in the not-too-distant future. More of a All Marine Radio on a Friday. We're going to talk steaks coming up next. All I can say-
say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit, into business development, and how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website. Look at what events they have lined up. Attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
As we recognize the service of America's men and women in uniform, let's also honor the families who sacrifice so much every day. Military families endure frequent deployments and separations. They carry on while their loved ones are sent into harm's way and wait patiently for their safe return. If you really want to honor a veteran, look for ways to support their families and thank them for their sacrifices. Go to legion.org/honorveterans to find out how you can help.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue here on a Friday. I'm joined by my hetero life partner, Kim Holmes. Kim, how are you?
Good morning.
Oh, you know what I did?
What?
What the hell did I do? I found something.
Did you press this off?
No. I'll see if I can find it. But we're going to, I was talking to Kim before he came on, and my cousin came down. My nephew is a pretty good baseball player, and Joe, and he's a great kid. And so my cousin Tom, he's playing in for Sacramento City College, Junior College of Baseball in California, pretty good baseball, and has been for a long, long time. And so they were down playing in Huntington Beach yesterday, so my cousin Tom down, and we went ahead and got a couple steaks. And so in the course of getting ready to grill the steaks, I said, well, how do you like your steak? He said, I like my medium well. And I looked at him, and I rolled my eyes. I'm like, good God. good God. but nonetheless, I got my meat thermometer out, and he said, "Oh, that's what you were telling me about." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Now I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom here," and and so we had a discussion about it. So, and the reason I wanted to talk about it is because Kim taught me how to grill so that you'd never ever do anything but great, I don't care what it is, if it's steaks, if it's chicken, if it's fish, how to do all of that. And so I wanted to just go over that today with you, as well as a couple other recipes. If you don't mind, if you don't mind doing that.
No.
All right. So let's talk about whatever you're going to cook. And let's just start with steaks. Let's just say you're going to cook steaks.
Your favorite or ribeye?
Yeah, my favorite cut, and Kim has taught me this as well, is the ribeye because of the marbling, and it just tastes, the fat gives the food, the meat, great taste.
Flavor.
Yes? All right, is there any, now, do you, when you, so in picking a steak, you like ribeye bone in, bone out? Is there, it doesn't matter?
I kind of like it bone in because I can gnaw on the bone and play wild man. But it doesn't matter. It's whatever. If you don't like bones, then bone out is perfect.
Okay, so in terms of taste, it doesn't matter.
No. It's different cooking times with the bone in. It's a little rarer near the bone.
Okay.
That's about it.
All right. Wow. I didn't know that. All right. Interesting. So, but the other thing that you've taught me is, so you go buy them.
Yes.
And then you need to remove them from the refrigerator. Can you explain that little event and let them sit and come to room temperature? Can you explain that?
Yes. When you have a steak and you pull it out of the fridge and you salt, pepper, and oil it, and I always cook, if I'm cooking in a cast iron, it's a dry, hot cast iron.
Okay.
If it's on the grill, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But it has to be at room temperature because you don't want to make the steak tough by cooking a cold piece of meat. It should be at room temperature so it cooks evenly. And the char on the outside will appear faster. And then if you, once you get your marks on the...
Okay, hold on. We're getting ahead of ourselves. So, but the biggest point is you don't want to take this piece of meat from a cold temperature to a, because it's going to take the inside longer to cook if it's cooler, which means the outside's, it means the outside's going to be tougher than it needs to be for you to get to medium, medium rare, whatever you want done.
Yes.
And if you want it medium well, that thing's going to be a piece of shoe leather on the outside.
Pretty much.
Okay. All right.
Now,
just so everybody understands that there's a reason why you come and let it stand. That way, you know, it cooks better. It doesn't have as far to go, which means the exterior of the steak doesn't necessarily have to be so well done, even after you sear it. So that makes sense. So that's the other piece. Now, how about you put olive oil on your steak? Talk to me about that.
I like olive oil. I like the flavor of olive oil. And I just rub the steak with olive oil and like you were putting on a marinade.
Okay.
And then salt and fresh ground black pepper. And sometimes I won't even put salt on the steak. I just take a pepper mill and grind a lot of black pepper on it. Because I like that heat and the flavor you get with the black pepper.
And this is all prior to going out to grill. All right, so bring it standing to room temperature, olive oil, salt and pepper, and as Kim would always say, season to taste. Right, whatever.
Yes.
You know, some people like to put a rub on it. You know, so all that would be done at this time.
Yes. You do it when you pull it out of the fridge, and then you let it, after that, then you let it sit on your plate and come to room temperature. And then it gets an even cook, and like you said, the inside, you know, cooks. Now, when you cook a piece of meat or anything, the cold center draws heat in from the outside. That's the way things cook. So if I like to take my steak and when it reaches temp and you pull it off a little bit before it reaches temp, wrap it in foil and just sit it on a warm place, not a hot place on the stove or on your grill, one that is indirect, and let it rest for 5 minutes before you dive into it. And that means all the juices in the steak will go throughout the steak. And when you cut into the steak, all the juices won't run out because it had time to rest. Follow me?
I'm with you. I don't always like to do that, but I'm picking up what you're putting down. All right, now let's talk about preparing the grill. All right.
Yeah.
Most people have propane grills today, so let's talk about the concept of direct heat and indirect heat in a grill. So so what are we doing with burners in a propane grill?
Well, with a propane grill, which is what I have. I don't have tanks. When we built our condo, we had a direct gas line coming right to the grill. So in the summer, I turn it on. In the winter, I turn it off, and I have a constant flow of propane.
No, it's not propane. It's natural gas, right?
It's natural gas. I'm sorry. Right. Natural gas. Right. Yeah, I stand correct.
Thank you.
Wow. wife loves it when you correct me.
I'm just keeping you on. No, you messed me. I thought it was propane because you've said that before.
No, and then
I got to wonder, I'm like,
tank,
I'm like, yeah. How the hell does he have a propane line in his place? Nobody has a propane line in their place. What is that? And so that's what kind of got me curious. Then I found out you were doing fake news. And so now talk to me about burners on, burners off, and how you set up the propane.
You have a grill. You turn all your burners on high. If you have a grill with three rows or four rows, you turn them on. And then as soon as it comes to temp, you turn the ones closest to the hinge of your grill off completely.
Okay, what does that mean? Closest to the hinge. What's the hinge of your grill?
You have a lid on your grill.
Right.
Right. I have a rectangular Weber.
Okay.
Or if you have an egg or whatever, or a round Weber, the original Weber.
They don't make that in a propane configuration. We're talking propane now. Most of those are rectangular. So
yes, they are. And mine has three lines.
A burner.
Three lines. So I will turn the back line, or the bed depends on how big the piece of meat I'm cooking. Okay. Sometimes it takes two lines on high and one line off. The back one off.
Okay. And so explain that.
The front to the back.
Okay, so
go ahead.
So what we're trying to set up here is we're trying to get the grill, the internal temperature inside the grill, inside the box. You're trying to get that to a certain level, and then once you do that, you'll turn at least one set of burners off, right? Because we're gonna sear the meat, and then we're gonna allow the meat to cook on indirect heat, right? So that's the concept: is sear and then indirect heat.
Okay. Yes.
All right, so you're going to bring it to temperature, then you're going to cut some, either one, if you have four, you might cut two of the burners off. So it's got to be warm enough to cook, right? And so you got to have heat, but you got to have a space where once you sear it, then you're simply going to move it over and allow it to cook. Yes?
And you...
So beautiful.
When you're doing indirect, that's right. When you're doing indirect, after you've seared it, put your grill marks on, and you only turn your steak the once on each side, and you don't do it for long. It depends on the thickness of the steak. I like my steaks to be around 2-inch thick, but the general rule is 1 to 1.5 inches. Because, I like, a nice grill marks on both sides. So you put your steak on the grill and you cook it for a couple of minutes. Then you take your tongs and you turn it a quarter turn so you get those crisscross grill marks, and you don't flip it yet. And then after you do that, like a total of maybe 3 minutes, then you flip it on the other side and do the same, and then set it off on the cool part of the grill. And the heat, the way those grills are set up, it's like a convection oven. Convection oven has a fan in it that circulates the heat. And this will automatically circulate heat around the cool grill that's off.
Okay, now stop. There's one important part that we're missing, and that is the digital meat thermometer. Okay. So now this is the part that makes it unscrewable. You can't screw it up, okay? So those of you who are grill challenged, you can become a champion. Okay? So you can see everything so far is pretty easy. Right? You know what to do with the meat now. You know how to put olive oil on it. You know, you season it to taste. And then you're going to sear it. You're going to quarter turn it, then you're going to flip it, quarter turn it again. Once you get it seared, the meat thermometer goes in and it moves to direct heat. Okay, now, indirect heat. I'm sorry, thank you. Now, this is the beautiful part of it. If you go by the appropriate meat thermometer, you're watching the meat, the inside of the meat, cook on your cell phone while you're either in watching the game or preparing the rest of the meal. You're done. It's done.
It's beautiful. Now, folks, Mac and I started Mac out on this fork thermometer. Two prongs, long prongs, that you stick into the meat and had a digital readout on the handle. And this was good for, I don't know, 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And then Mac discovered, got a present from one of his sons, the digital thermometer, meat thermometer. Mm-hmm. And it changed his life forever. So I recommend that
$40.
You out there, if you're challenged with the second way, get yourself a fork at Bed Bath & Beyond. But the premium way to do this is the digital way.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's sweet. It's sweet.
And folks, if Mac can't mess up the steak because of this digital thermometer, you will never mess it up either.
Okay, and now let me tell you the beauty. My cousin likes his steak medium well done. And so what I did was I put, like, I knew that my steaks had to come off. Catherine was over for dinner. So I punched in medium rare. And my little sensor, beep, 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 beep. Your meal is within 9 degrees of being ready.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. So now I'm hovering, and so when all of a sudden my steak says, done, I take it off. Now I know I'm going to let it sit, and so I take it, and I wrapped it in foil, and it's so it's going to sit. Now my cousin's steak, I now hit edit. I punched that steak to medium well, and I hit enter, and then in about another 5 minutes or so, looked, and it was approaching 150. It said your steak is ready. I took that off, and it was
burnt.
And it's but it's perfect. It's like I said, it's not screwable. Now, Kim, here's my question.
Yes.
I have a couple questions. One, if I'm going to serve a steak medium rare, should I take it off at rare, knowing that it's going to cook a little bit more in the foil?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And like I said earlier, the cold center draws the heat in, and it will continue cooking when it's even off the grill. The indirect heat and wrapped in foil. And 5 minutes later, you should open it up and it should be medium rare. And that's it. Then you're good to chow down.
Perfect. You know, and I don't know. So again, now I think when people hear that, you kind of say to yourself, oh, duh. But, you know, it's not apparent to everybody. It certainly wasn't apparent to me. I mean, if I'm going to cook to medium rare, I'm going to set it to medium rare, and then I'll take it off. But that's not what you want to do if you, in fact, know what you're doing and you follow what Kim says. So if you follow those steps, you'll never screw up another grilled meal in your life, ever.
Not long, whether it's in something that's even more delicate, then a slab of meat is fish. That's the most delicate because you don't cook that very long.
Right.
And that thermometer will make you a professional chef. And chicken is something that dries out all the time in the white part. But I only buy legs and thighs anyway.
Which is the dark meat.
No, not really. We buy whole chickens. Break them up.
I don't.
Or
I don't.
Cook a half a chicken, and she gets the white, and I get the dark.
Thighs, man. That's all I do is thighs.
Thighs. Yummy, juicy, succulent thighs.
Thighs. All right. Let's talk about. I want to talk about asparagus, but
yes.
So. But again, my point in bringing this up is that I didn't know anything about grilling, and over the years, Kim has taught me a lot, but certainly it's not that complicated, and you can serve people that have a variety of palates in terms of what they want, from rare to well done. My point with the digital meat thermometer is that it takes the guessing out of it. It takes the cutting the meat open piece out of it. All you do is an email says this: "Hey Matt, can you describe the meat thermometer that you got?" If you go online, it's called the iGrill Mini. So if you search that, you'll see it. And it's got essentially three pieces.
Yeah.
It's got the probe, and then the probe has a long wire. So, which is very cool because if you see a picture of it, so the probe and the wire must be 3 feet long. I think,
yeah.
two to three. I mean, it's a long wire, so I can use it when I try to make steak in a bag, which I've struggled with in terms of getting it to be not a piece of leather. And now that's taken the mystery out of it, because once the steak goes in the bag, how do you see if you know what's going on? And the answer is you don't. You have to trust the oven and make sure you got a thick enough piece of meat that fits the recipe. And if you do that, then it'll come out right. If you don't do that, if the cut is a little bit thin, then it's going to be well done. And I've screwed it up so many times, it's ridiculous. Now I don't screw it up anymore because I can see. So the probe goes into the meat, and then this 3 foot cord can run out of your oven, and then it's got a little broadcasting unit that you plug this into, the wire into. And you turn it on, and then that's what connects to your phone and gives you the temperature readout. And then the app on your phone asks you, what are you cooking? Are you cooking chicken? Are you cooking brisket? Are you cooking steaks? Are you cooking fish? And you press the picture. I'm cooking steaks. And boom, and you hit the picture. And then it's like, okay, how would you like it cooked? I'd like it medium rare. You press that, and then you're done. And then you simply look at this temperature readout on your phone, and then it gives you warnings in terms of how much time you have left or how many degrees there are left before your meat comes out good. And so if you follow those steps of letting the meat come to room temperature, seasoning it to taste, and using olive oil, using indirect and direct heat, quarter turns to make it look pretty, and then, you know, and then put it to indirect heat with the meat thermometer in, it's impossible to screw it up unless your cell phone goes out in the middle of cooking. It's impossible. So it's very cool. Yeah, it's very cool. Now, I got an email, so I'll read the email about it. Hey, Mac, one of the things I'd like to serve with steaks is I love those big fat asparagus. I'm curious, does Kim have a recipe either for grilling them or for baking them, which I see done a lot? Curious, thanks for the info and making me a champ. I am on my way to Home Depot, on my way home from work today, to get one of these. They're awesome. I'm telling you, man, it makes you a champion. Kim, how do you do asparagus?
Okay. The large asparagus I gave the affectionate name Chernobyl asparagus.
Right.
The ones that are at least an inch thick or three quarters of an inch thick, they taper down a little bit, but doesn't matter. Now, those you can coat with pepper, salt, and olive oil, and you can put them across the grates if you want. And you have to pay attention with these.
Okay.
It just takes a couple of minutes to grill these. Now, what Beth and I discovered this last summer is we got some asparagus, and I like the big ones myself also. And they were just small, you know, maybe a quarter of an inch. And so Beth has these aluminum foil pans she gets at the dollar store, and then we oil up the asparagus and put salt and pepper on it, and then we sit that on top of the grill, and then you just have to move them back and forth, shake them a little bit so they turn over, and they cook beautifully, and then they're not falling through the grill. And you're not swearing that your asparagus is burning up on the gas directly.
Or burning your fingers trying to salvage it.
Yeah. But you use the foil. Now, another way, I love the grilling. Baking, you do the same thing with the aluminum foil, and you put them in the oven. But probably beside grilling, my favorite way is to take your asparagus, the stalk side down, you drop them in boiling water, salted boiling water, and you cook them for about a minute, or maybe 2 minutes. And then you have a big container of ice water, ice cubes and water. And you take those right out of the boiling water, and you shock them in the cold water. It stops them from cooking further, and it maintains that beautiful green that asparagus is.
Mm.
Because if you don't take it out, they look like mud, and you don't want to go there. You just don't. So that's my secret tip that all chefs do if they're doing large batches. And they'll shock them to keep their green. And then, if you just want to par cook them a little bit, you can still, if they're big ones, you can still put those on the grill. And they'll stay green. But you only have them on there for a couple of minutes. Period. Maybe, if they're big, thick ones. Like we like. So that's helps.
No, that's front row stuff.
And the thing is about shocking asparagus, if you're wintertime, you're inside, you don't want to use your grill, and you can do that on stovetop, and you can still, after you shock them, you pull them out. And they have that beautiful bright green, and you chop into it a piece of cold asparagus. You can tell if it's not done enough for you, if it has too much of a crunch, then you just throw it on the stove real quick with a little olive oil, black pepper and salt, and there you go. Now, you finish your asparagus, and you just heat it up a little bit. Then when you put it on a plate, nothing better, I learned this when I worked in Italy, nothing better on asparagus that's just been cooked is grated Parmesan cheese. Oh, my God. That'll put you in the front row right away.
Okay, so the seasoning when you're cooking is just a little bit of olive oil?
Yes, just to coat the, you know, you don't rub each stalk, but you just toss them.
Okay.
That's all.
You
maybe a tablespoon of olive oil for a dozen or a dozen and a half stalks of asparagus.
Okay, and so how do you do that? So you put the olive oil on them and then kind of, as you said, toss them and to move the oil around in them?
I toss them in a stainless bowl.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Depends the size of them. Sometimes, you know, when you buy asparagus, they'll be, you know, in the grocery store, they'll be in a bunch and they'll be sitting up in water. And that's to keep them fresh. Now, if you take them home and you're not going to use them that day, you take them home, you get a container, a tall plastic container where they can stand straight up. You cut about 1 inch off the bottom of the stalks and you sit them in about 2 inches of water. And that rejuvenates the asparagus and keeps it fresh. It's the same principle when you buy a Christmas tree and in your garage, you don't want to put it up yet. Every day you cut a little bit of the trunk off and put it back in water and it keeps the needles fresh. Okie doke.
I got it.
But that's a little trick I'm sure you didn't know.
No. I like that. I also like the afraid the grated fresh Parmesan. I also like that. That's a interesting little thing you got to go in there. Now we got a few minutes left. Beth sent me a liver pate recipe.
Yes.
You want to talk about that?
Yes. I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to go over a few things. The instructions are very thorough.
Okay.
It's in her handwriting, so you can read it. Now, when I had the Blue Parrot Breakfast Club in Port Townsend,
right.
Port Townsend, Washington, I came up with this kind of like a Cajun chicken liver pate. It's got onions, mushrooms, chicken livers, eggs, lemon juice, cayenne pepper, chopped pecans. Now, if you get pecans, get them whole and toast them a little bit, either in the cast iron skillet on top of the stove, you stand over them, and you want to toast them because it changes the flavor of them. They really brings out the pecan taste of the pecan. And then you chop those. And then you have a cognac, an ounce of cognac, 2 tablespoons. And then you have a few tablespoons of port. Now, port is a sweet fortified wine. And port is like a dessert wine, something you have after dinner with your coffee. And it's sweet. Now, when you get everything, follow the instructions, and you pull the pan off the burner, you dump the cognac into this chicken liver mixture, and then you light the cognac. And believe me, it'll light, so be careful. And, you know, just turn the burner off and keep it on the stove because it'll light and then you'll have this flame. And when the flame burns out, you have burnt the alcohol off. And it has the flavor of cognac. And then when you're finishing this and you have it all in your Cuisinart and you're ready to pulse it, you put in a couple of ounces of port, and then you mix it, and it gives it a richness and a sweetness to the chicken liver pate. And you liked our chicken liver pate at Sanders, I think, with the boursin cheese. So, and that is an absolute great dish. Now, this is something, folks, a little bonus. Have you ever made a beef Wellington, Mac? That beef Wellington?
No, God, no.
Okay, you can buy these puff pastry squares, Pepperidge Farm, in the frozen food. They're little 6-inch squares. You roll them out a little bit. You take a steak, and you cook it to rare on your grill. And then you cool it down, and then you wrap, you put a little dollop of this pate on top of the steak. It's called a beef Wellington. And then you wrap the puff pastry around the steak, and then you bake it in the oven for 20 minutes. The steak goes to medium rare. It won't get any done more than medium rare. The puff pastry gets golden brown. The pate is warm and yummy. And I'm telling you, and you have to use a filet mignon.
Have to. You know,
6 to 8 ounce filet, yes. Yes. But that's a little bonus tip. And we'll do something like that. But you need, I want to send you pictures of the process. So, but that's another little bonus. But this pate is great and it goes real well. And I served it at Sanders also. But you get, this is the original. Joe changed it a little bit.
Uh-oh.
And now he doesn't serve it anymore. But so this recipe is from 1980. So enjoy this. And if you like pate or chicken livers, it's an exceptional dish. Now, the Italians will take this, and when it's blended and done and it's still warm, they'll spread it on toasted French bread or baguettes or whatever. You know, crostinis is what they call them in Italy, and that's little rounds of toasted bread.
Right.
And then you spread the pate on that, and it's a killer appetizer. Or you can refrigerate it overnight. All the flavors marry and come together. And then you can serve it with crackers or nice fresh French bread as an appetizer also. And I really want everybody to put this chicken liver pate in their recipe book because
that's a good one.
It's a kick-ass recipe.
Okay. I'm going to stick it up on show notes here. All right, my friend. We're out of time.
It's been a great day. And we were going to talk fish. I had these.
We'll do that next week. We'll do that next week.
Yeah,
that's all right.
I was going to do a grilled salmon with plum pepper sauce. But yes, we'll do it next week. But I'm glad we did steaks today because where you live, it's coming on strong. Where I live, it's still in the 30s.
Yeah, but that's a heat wave where you live right now.
Hey, it's maybe 5 degrees away from flip-flops and shorts around here.
And that's no joke either. Yesterday,
you know what I'm talking about with the college kids.
Oh, no. Yesterday it was in the 60s here, and
yeah,
I almost froze to death. How soon they forget. All right, Kim.
Yep.
Thank you very much for, and again, if you follow these steps relative to grilling, even if you're cooking, you know, whatever, even if you're going to use your your cast iron and do a steak on the stove if you're going to do it that way. As long as you follow these steps, all right, you can go ahead and make, and the meat thermometer is essential, absolutely essential. And if you do it, you'll cook great stuff, because that's always the challenge, is getting it right. Well, the meat thermometer takes the guessing out. And then as long as you sear it and do what Kim tells you to, then you follow the rest of the instructions, and boom. No matter what you cook, it comes out well. And
right.
And you know you're going to be – if you can do that and you're not burning the meat, then you'll do okay. And this kind of makes it unscrewable.
It doesn't matter what else you do, but the meat is the most expensive and the most important part of your meal. So you damn well better get it right and get that thermometer and make your meal a success.
Awesome. All right, sir. I will talk to you later. You have a very, very nice mid-morning. And
I will.
All our best to the brains of the outfit, Miss B. And I will talk to you.
She's the beauty, and I'm the beast.
All right. Can you send me Casey's phone number? Can you text it to me?
Casey Mondry?
Yes, I need to call him.
I'll look. I don't know that I have it. But I'll try and get a hold of his mom.
Okay.
And get that. I thought I had it.
That's who we're talking to today, right?
I'll track it down for
okay.
you.
Okay. All right, my friend. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
There you go. The one and only All Marine Radio head chef here on a Friday edition. I'm not kidding you. If you can do that stuff, you can be one of the great grillers of modern time. We're going to take a break. This hour of All Marine Radio, brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug. You can check out everything they had at battlemug.com, enter the promo code Marine for 15% off and get a great gift. More of this program coming up next here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.